Justin, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Now, I know when the O-line guys get together, Chris Morris, you tell me, was sometimes there would be challenges on who could eat the most. Who is the guy who can pack it down the most on the O-line?
I don't know. A lot of guys eat quite a bit. Probably Thaddeus Coleman probably eat the most, I think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, at dinner he's been putting down two or three plates. So.
Now, what's before a game day? What's usually your big? Are you a guy like? Do you do a big carbo load? Do you believe in that? The meal before or the night before the game?
Honestly, I like a steak and potato night before the game. A lot of times, I go out to the keg or places like that and get a steak and a potato night before.
Okay. The offensive line really is the one position that's had the most change because you have a new offensive line coach. And due to some injuries and Matt O'Donnell going down to Cincinnati, there's a lot of new faces on the O-line, a few rookies that came in the draft. How's the O-line coming together, John? Is it going to take some time to get a five-man unit, or is that really not going to happen until we decide who the five starters are?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, at practice every day, it's kind of been a rotation of who's been in, who's been out. I mean, the tackles and the centers are the same, but all the guards are pretty much new, so besides Andrew Jones. So it should be a good rotation here. And hopefully by game one of the season here, we'll have a solid five picked out, ready to roll.
Now, all the receivers and the quarterbacks have told me that having the same offensive coordinator is a breath of fresh air. They know everything. Is it the same for the O-line? Do you have the same terminology despite having a new O-line coach?
Yeah, everything's pretty much the same, even though this new O-line coach, we kept most things the same. It's the same system and the same offense, so it's kind of hard to change everything due to a new coach. So it's mostly pretty much the same. I mean, there's some new things and some new techniques and a lot of things like that, but majority of it stays pretty much the same.
So what is Coach Sheffer, how does he differ in his approach to your coach last year?
He's a lot more intense. He's a great coach, and he's brought to us new techniques, but he definitely has a whole lot more energy about him.
Now, energy in a good way. Like, are the drills more up tempo than with his energy, or is he just a guy who's just brimming with energy, just kind of how he goes about his everyday business?
About his everyday business and what he brings to you and what he wants to bring to the squad and the team, and he wants us to be definitely flying around the football and just brings a huge intensity in everything he does.
Now, did you know anything about Coach Sheffer before he got announced as the O-line coach?
Well, I got a couple of buddies who he coached when he coached D-line. One of my good friends back in Vancouver, he coached, so I knew a little bit about him.
Okay.
Before I got here, but yeah, I didn't know he was quite as upbeat and intense as he was. That's for sure.
Now, the first time you saw him, did you question that he was an offensive lineman in college?
He's kind of tiny, so yeah. he told us he was an O-line coach back or O-line back in college, but I wondered at what level of college it was.
Well, he's got to be the shortest O-lineman I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's not a tall fellow, that's for sure.
And he played at 317 pounds. I couldn't believe it when he said that.
Yeah, that's I don't know where he put it. That's for sure.
So now I know offensive linemen might have to have the thickest skin, man. I've heard the jokes and the barbs amongst them. Does it work the same with a coach? Like, does the coach have to have that same thick skin mentality? Do the jabs go as freely with the players to the coach?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely joke back and forth for sure. I mean, offensive line's always a funny group, and we're always cracking jokes, and we definitely crack them back at him as. Definitely as much as he cracks with us and other people do, that's for sure.
You and Krochnik. Krochnik, he wasn't here last year, of course, had been picked up in the expansion draft. He comes back as a free agent. And, even with Brian Ramsey, kind of three guys battling for that one center position. How's the competition gone from your perspective?
I mean, it's gone good. I mean, it's always good to have a bunch of veterans fighting for one spot because then everybody really has to push hard and try and get better and be the best player they can be, right, to earn that spot. So it's good. It's good having competition. And I mean, it's a battle every day, you got to go out there every day and give everything you got, or you might not have your spot anymore, you know?
Do you feel the fact that you're getting the start for the first game that maybe, you've earned that and the coaches are looking at it, that maybe you're the favorite right now?
Honestly, I don't know. I just go out there and do my thing, and they're the ones that make the choices, not us. So we just go out there and do what we can every day.
Okay. Now, a lot of the old linemen can switch positions. If they came to you and said, "Hey, Justin, you know what? We think you played great at center. We might want to move you to the guard position. We think you're performing better." How easy of or hard of a transition would that be for you after a few weeks of camp?
It's always a transition to go to a new position. But I played guard in the CFL, and I played a little bit of tackle as well. So, I mean, if they asked me to do it, I would do it, of course, because that's our job, to go play wherever they want us to.
Which one do you feel you're the best at?
I like center because center is the most cerebral.
Okay.
And I really love studying the game of football and making all the calls and telling people where to go. And at center, it's just you're in command and control of the whole line, and I really like that aspect of it.
I've heard that a lot, that the center cut maybe has to be the most cerebral. Do you have to be the best communicator as well?
Yeah, because when you approach the line of scrimmage every play, you have to tell everybody which direction to go and who we're working to, which backers, and you got to call out blitzes and things like that as well. So, yeah, you generally have to communicate the most as a center.
How do you communicate on the road when it's super loud, and, you know, and the defense is on the field for the opposing team, and, you know, the fans are cheering? How do you tap the guard beside you, and then he taps the tackle? How does it work?
It's so loud, but it's not loud enough that if I'm screaming, they can't hear me.
Okay.
Like, I just have to yell as loud as I can. I mean, I have a deep voice, and my voice travels pretty good. So if I'm yelling really loud, like in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, they can hear me. But I have to be yelling pretty much as loud as I can.
Justin Sorensen, O-lineman for the Eskimos, joins us. He'll be starting tomorrow night, game one of the preseason, 8 o'clock on TSN, the Eskimos and the Riders up in Fort McMurray. When you're yelling out, do you think defenses will pick up on your terminology halfway through a season or even at part of a game? Like, how you guys must have to change a lot. Like, how many, when you yell out a play, how is it like in baseball where you're yelling out 10 words and it's the fifth word that's the play? How does it work?
No, because the play we know when we break the huddle, so it's just our different line calls that we yell out. And there's a bunch of different, there's like a different line call for multiple different plays. So it's, we may yell the same word 10 times in a game, but we've also yelled 50 other words, right?
Okay.
So defenses can pick up on it a little bit, but then also sometimes if we have an easy play, when we're breaking the huddle, I'll be like, "Hey boys, I'm going to do a dummy call here." And one of our main calls that we use all the time, I'll use it as a dummy call just to keep the defense on their toes as well.
Okay. Do you find
plus when a D lineman lines up, he's so worried about his own line and what he's got to do that I don't think he's necessarily listening to what we have to say all the time as well.
Okay, and that was going to be my question. Have you found that there are certain guys who will listen, and then that's when you dummy call them?
Oh yeah, there's definitely a few really smart D linemen in the league too that they pick up on things and they've been around and they know kind of now. So yeah, I'll get some dummy calls out there, especially late in the season when you play the team a few times. Get a couple dummy calls out, try and get guys to go the wrong way when we need them to and such.
Justin, I noticed in the final few days of training camp, the tempers were a little shorter between the O-lineman and the D-lineman. Got Odell Willis to say, "Guys, we don't need this stuff, whatever." Who, and I know your teammates now, so guys joke about it, but who is annoying you the most late in camp on the D-line?
We honestly, I don't like to throw people under the bus, so I'm not going to comment on that, to be honest.
You weren't having any fun with any of the guys? Like, who's the most competitive D lineman in camp?
Oh, well, I mean, competitive. You got guys like Odell and Mondo who come off the ball every single snap and try and hit you as hard as they can. I mean, those guys just work hard every day, but there's definitely a few guys who get under your skin a little bit. But I'm not going to comment on who they are.
Well, I'm going to guess it's going to be more of an interior guy than an outside guy because you more so go against them. In those one-on-one drills, and I saw it last year, it really started. It was kind of a healthy, more of a team camaraderie competition where when the D-lineman went up against an O-lineman, when the O-lineman won, the entire O-line was celebrating, and conversely, so was the D-line. But it was done in a way that was not as us against them that I've seen in previous years. Is that still in place for your team, or is that something that kind of has to be started to build up again at the start of the season?
No, it's definitely in place, and that's the thing. Like, even somebody said, like, there's been no fights in camp. It's been like, yeah, because we're all such, like, we're all good friends. Like, it's not so much offense against defense for a whole team, and we're trying to build that to be trying to build a championship team. And when I've been on winning teams, it's because when you're all the guys just get along and they want to hang out, whether it's in football or outside of football, everyone's just a big group and unit, and it's not split up between like O-line and D-line and offense, defense. It's everybody's friends and everybody gets along and they just push each other to be the best. So in competition periods like that, somebody has to be the winner. So yeah, you get congratulated, but it's more of a team thing than just an O-line, D-line thing.
Now, the old linemen in Edmonton, for as long as I've covered the team, you guys play your little game amongst the old linemen on the day before the game where, you know, the ball, and you got to hammer it, you know, you deflect the ball back and forth and one another. If the guy drops it, then he's kicked out. If you make a bad throw, he's kicked out. Who is the best at that game?
Well, O'Donnell was pretty good, but he's gone now, I'd say. But him and Simeon, he usually battle it out most often. So when Simeon's back here, he's pretty good at that game.
What do you have to do to improve your status at that game?
Work on hand-eye coordination, I guess.
The best part, I always chuckle when you guys have the vote to decide if the guy who tossed the ball, it was a bad toss. It almost must become at times where you guys just say, well, this guy's won too much. I don't care. We're going to say it's a bad throw.
Oh, that happens for sure. And then when somebody gets knocked out at the beginning, they get all bitter and try and knock everybody else out or vote them out too. So
okay.
It kind of depends on the situation.
Now, who is the easiest one to get rattled in that game?
Andrew Jones gets pretty rattled in that game.
So he'll go right at him right away then?
Yeah. Well, we usually go at the rookies first.
Okay.
But then you start picking off other people who, you know, get a little rattled.
And speaking of the rookies, you know, you've had guards on each side of you throughout training camp, Beard and Danny Groh. Give me your thoughts on them, how they fit in.
They're both great young players, and I think that they both have a chance of being good old linemen in this league.
As a veteran, you know, they tell me how, man, I've learned so much, the tips from the veterans. What have you done, a guy who's played all the positions and now, you know, you're audible in them? Do you take them aside and say, hey, man, I think you should work on this, or do you wait till they come to you?
A little bit of both. When I see things on film that maybe coach touches on, but I think that from a player's perspective, they could use a little bit more advice, I'll go to them. But also I told both of them, encouraged them both at the start of camp, if you have any questions, come to me. And they both have. They both had questions walking out of meetings. Maybe something they didn't understand fully, and they came, and then I explained it to them to the best of my abilities, because sometimes a little bit gets lost between a coach and a player, but sometimes a player-to-player can help fill that in a little bit more.
Yeah. Justin, one last one for you. For a long time, you know, you're 6'8", and very rarely are there tall centers. Usually, you know, that's where the Schefter guys kind of, you know, the 6'1", 6'2" guys, or I guess in his case, maybe 5'11", who play center.
I was thinking 5'8".
Yeah, okay, babe. Fair enough. Good thing you said it. How difficult is it? What's the biggest challenge being so tall at the center position?
Just staying low on the shorter D tackles. Like in the run game and even against a bull rush, being tall, you really have to sit down against the shorter squatter guys on the D-line. That makes it really tough. But there's also a lot of advantage, too, when you have a big tall center and a big center. He takes up a lot more room in the center for versus games on pass pro and just holding space as well.
Justin, really appreciate it. Enjoy Fort McMurray. Is it your first time up there?
Yeah, I've never been.
Okay, well, enjoy the game, I guess you'll get used to it because you guys will be back there in a few weeks for a real regular season game. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Have a good day.